We will continue our regular devotional on Genesis beginning next year. This holiday season, we would like to give a timely message on the incarnation of Christ.
Book in the Bible, then to the New Testament, there's a 500 years. Last book of the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's a 500 years silence. Where no prophet spoke for 500 years. Then comes the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he comes and he prepares the way for the Messiah. Of course, when the time of Jesus, during his time of birth, we see the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was the largest monarchy in the whole world at that time. The Roman Empire was called the world. If you remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it is called the world. Roman Empire was called the world. But Judah was conquered about 60 to 70 years before Christ by the Roman Empire. During Christ's birth, the Roman Emperor was Augustus Caesar. And Augustus Caesar is called the greatest of all the Roman emperors. And he is the first and the greatest of all the Roman emperors. And he reigned in great glory and power. But Christ came to this earth in humility. Now, what do you mean by incarnate? What do you mean by incarnation or incarnate? It is not reincarnate, okay? Reincarnation is Hinduism, is Buddhism. It has nothing to do with incarnation. Reincarnation believes that when you die, in this time, next birth, you will be born again, in physically, as another man or another woman or an animal or whatever. That's not what we are talking. We are talking about incarnation. The word in Latin means into. The word carnis is the same word for carnal, means it's what? Flesh. So it means God became flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Here God became a man. He clothed the flesh of a man. It's not the sinful nature of the man, but he became who he put on the flesh. Now, also John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here we see the deity of Christ Jesus. There's no way we can say that he is not a God. He is God. Alright? As the Jehovah's Witnesses say, is a God. Now, the Word was God. Now, what we have to understand is, verse 14 says, that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Now, here we see very clearly that the Word was with God, but it was not God, it was not the Father who became flesh, but it was the Word who became flesh. It so very clearly, distinguishedly says that it's the second person of the Holy Trinity that became flesh. It's not the Father, it's not the Holy Spirit, but the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became flesh. And it says here, became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, in Greek, it says tabernacled among us. And now, why is it? Let me ask you a question. So, we will really see the greatness of this incarnation. Why is it that incarnation necessary? Why is it necessary for God to become a man? Why didn't Christ come in His fully divine nature? If you remember in the Old Testament how three men appeared to Abraham and one was the Lord, remember? Now you see that one was the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. So here we see in the Old Testament, sometimes Jesus appears to men, He appeared to men in His fully divine nature. Right? Why didn't He come that way? Why He had to become a man? Do you ever think like that sometimes? Ever questions come to you and you think about it and you try to see why He had to become a man. Now, if Christ came in His fully divine nature, He could not have purchased salvation for us. Now let me tell you why. That's where we are going to study. Today we are going to study on the incarnation. Next week we are going to study on the humiliation of Christ. And after that we are going to study on His active obedience. After that we are going to study on His passive obedience, meaning the suffering. How God poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross. We are going to study on that and we are going to go through scriptures. And we are going to see all these things. Now, how come he could have come just like in the Old Testament in His fully divine nature? But how come He had to become a man? What is the reason? The reason is He would have purchased salvation. Why? Because divine nature is perfect. God is perfect and He cannot suffer. How can He suffer? The Messiah has to suffer. God cannot suffer because He is above suffering. He is perfect. And also, this is where we see the penal punishment of Christ, the penal penalty of Christ we are going to study. And also, the active obedience of Christ we are going to see, that the divine nature cannot obey the law. How can God, His fully divine nature, obey the law? If His fully divine nature is going to obey the law, there has to be another God, right? Only humanity has to obey the law. That's why Christ has to be a man. Remember, who sinned at the Garden of Eden? It was Adam. It was man.
We will continue this message tomorrow. God bless your soul with the richness of His Word.
The stars are brightly shining.